And welcome back to the locker room. And we do have Brad Glenn on the line. Morning to you, Brad.
G'day, Neil. How are you going?
Very good. Must be a little bit different having a Saturday morning in the summer and no cricket today.
Yeah, no, it's a weird feeling, but nice, mate. I've just finished having a coffee with the wife.
Very good. So let's just go way back. I didn't realise this until I started hunting around, but it's saying here, born in Dandenong.
Yeah, born in Dandenong, mate. My first year or two of my life were in Carlton Road, Dandenong. Dad had, that mum lived up there. Mum was from Wantagi. And, yeah, so they settled in Dandy for a bit before the old man got moved down to Tassie. So.
Okay.
Born in Dandenong, mate.
So where'd you start your cricket?
My first game of cricket was at the Kringle Cricket Club, mate. And in the under-12s under Bruce Curtis.
Yeah.
So we went over to Tassie and then moved back, and Dad took me down to where Long Island play. The juniors were playing there in white shorts and white long socks and six and this bloke ever go.
And, of course, you've been around a bit. You said the family moved to Tassie. Did you play down there at all?
No, I didn't. I was Jim. My old man was the opening bat for Clarence. Club comp down there, their home ground was Bell Reef. So I remember going, I have memories of going and watching Dad open the bat for Clarence. And I remember he took me out at the tea breaks on the Bell Reef Oval, and I was tiny, mate. I was four or five, I think. And I remember the old man throwing balls at me and my bat broke, and I pulled my eyes out. So they're the only memories. I didn't play down there, but I watched the old man play.
Right. From there, did you move to Frankston Peninsula? Because you got the Frankston Peninsula around about early 90s, I think.
Yeah, exactly right. Yep, so from there, we moved back, and I played all my junior cricket at Kringle and went up to Melbourne when I was 15, or a bit over 15 and a half, about halfway through my last under 16 years.
And, Brad, you've spent a few years in the state squad too, I believe, and we've talked in the locker room before about how timing can determine whether a player gets an opportunity to play at, you know, the highest level he can. You were in the Victorian state squad as a wicketkeeper, I guess, and presumably just a broken finger or a torn hamstring away from getting a game for the state.
Yeah, no, that's right, mate. I was lucky enough to have a pretty good year when I moved. I think it was the first or second year, I think, when I moved from Melbourne to Frankston. Graffy batted me a three, and obviously Chuck Berry was the main keeper, and there was Rod Taylor was the second contract keeper at that stage, and I sort of had a reasonably good year, batting a three, and got 700 or 800 runs, and wound up with a contract, which was, you know, really, really pleasing. But you're right, yeah, there's only Chuck and I still see Darren now, and he's local, and actually saw him a few weeks ago, and we still joke about it. He was the greatest keeper I ever saw. Mm. He jokes about being, you know, a broken finger or a hamstring away from probably playing test cricket.
Yeah.
And I was the same away from maybe playing played quite a few state seconds games, but maybe that away from playing a first-class game. And my opportunity actually came. And Chuck, I remember I was playing in a second-winning game, halfway through a second-winning game at the Junction Oval against South Australia, and Chuck came in and said, Glennie, you're gonna play for Victoria. I said, what's happened? He'd done a groin. And to cut a long story short, the game was against Tassie in Tassie, and then a return one-day game at the G. And to cut a very long story short, up until the death knock, I was going to play, and then I turned up for training, and a guy from the Herald Sun came up and said, oh, Glennie, how do you feel about what they've done? I had no idea what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. And the AIS team at that stage were down in Tasmania, and there was a young under-19 guy by the name of Peter Roach who was down there with the AIS team, and they decided to play him.
Oh,
and he ended up playing for another couple of years, so I think there was probably more to that story than just me filling in. I think it was more about how they were feeling about Chuck at the time too. So
you played for Frankston for about 4 or 5 seasons, would that be right?
Yeah, roughly, Neil. I think it was maybe a bit longer than that. It wasn't a national field. I think it was maybe 7 or 8.
Okay.
From memory. So I think I gave Premier Cricket away not long after I lost my state contract, which I think was about 32.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got there at about 24.
And I found that you actually were in the Victorian under 17 side as well.
Yeah, that's right. I was. I played in the Victorian under 17 side, which was great fun. Dav Watmore was coaching that. Played with some, pretty good players. Played against some good players too that went on to play a lot higher than I did. Still actually, Steve. You there now?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you can remember some of the names of the
Ron team. Tucker from Tasmania was playing for Tassie. I can't remember. I don't think Warnie made that under 17 side, but he definitely played in the schoolboy state side with me. Who's from New South Wales? There was a guy by the name of Cheekwee, I think it was.
Richard Cheekwee.
Chinese guy.
Yeah.
So, played against a few guys that went on to play a fair bit of first class cricket. So it was a great experience.
Let's talk a bit about some of the when you moved back here. You said after you lost the first class contract and you started getting involved back on the peninsula, I'm pretty sure. You spent a few years at Mount Eliza. I can remember one of those years you spent most of the year on crutches.
Yeah, that's right, mate. I think it was about 32 I'd come back, and I'd sort of made the decision. I never felt robbed, but obviously, even though I was born in Dandenong and that, I grew up as a peninsula guy, and I'd never really got to play. I played one first MPCA game at provincial cricket for Kooringal that year of under 16 cricket, and I'd always said I wanted to come back and play, where I grew up. So I'd made the decision that once I lost that contract that I wanted to go back and still play while I was sort of okay. So went back to Mount Eliza and made a lot of great mates and have a lot of fond memories and really enjoyed my time there and really enjoyed the local scene and the friends I've made through local cricket. It's been great for me and my family and a lot of fun, and I played against a lot of great players, on country that for one reason or another, that they don't have any desire to go and play that or pursue that premier cricket. And yeah, we're blessed down here. We've got a lot of fantastic people and a lot of fantastic players.
It's interesting to hear you say that, Brad, because a lot of players who've played at a high level find it difficult, I guess, sometimes to be inspired to play in lower grades, and that obviously wasn't the case for you. And so I guess the reason for that, from what you just said, is simply a love of playing the game, but also because of the clubs that you found yourself playing at after Premier Cricket.
Yeah, absolutely. I never felt any way unmotivated, I guess, to come and play local cricket, because I knew that I'd find it challenging, and I did. It's not like I was a cut above it or anything like that. I was just an average bloke with average ability that had a bit of luck. And, I found local cricket really challenging, fiercely competitive, and as I said, I played against, through the country competitions as well as local cricket, many great players that, in my view, wouldn't have been out of place at a higher level.
Mm. Just got a text through from Lyle House, who sort of said that he felt you had a very positive impact on him when he was a 16-year-old and just learning the craft of bowling, and he just wanted people to be aware that he thought you did a great contribution to a lot of the young cricketers around the place.
That's very nice of House to say that. When I just spoke about making great mates, he's one that he's a lot younger than my ripe old age, and he's one I consider now a dear friend of mine and my family, he was 16, and I remember turning up to training, and he had a pair of wicket-keeping gloves, and he had the biggest hands, Neil, I've ever seen, and I saw him catch a ball, and I said, son, just bowl a few, and he started bowling a few leggies, and I went up to him and said, mate, throw the gloves away. Mm-hmm. And he was a talent as a young kid, and has gone on to be a great Mount Eliza player and a great Mount Eliza person, and played Country Week, Victorian Country, so he's a perfect example of what I've enjoyed so much about country cricket.
Well, while we're on the country cricket, let's touch on the Australian Country 11, the Victorian Country 11, because you were involved in those teams. I think you may have been captain once or twice there too.
Yeah.
So just reminisce about some of the good times there, or some of the great players you're with and against.
Yeah, absolutely, Neil. Again, real fortunate period of my cricketing life. I'd come back to local cricket, and I was, I guess, a bit... I knew about the local country week stuff through Rob and was really looking forward to playing in that if I was good enough to get picked. And then I didn't know much about the country national championships. And to be honest, I didn't know it existed. And John J.L. rang me. He was chairman of selectors at that stage and said, "Lenny, would you be interested in playing in the Victorian countryside?" I said, "Oh, yeah." And he told me a little bit about it. Long story short, I said, "Yeah, absolutely would." I had to wait a little period because at that time, I think if you'd been a contracted first-class player, there was like a period of time you had to wait.
Yeah, 12 months, I think. Yeah.
Play. So I couldn't play in my first year, and as it turned out, I couldn't play it anyway because I was on crutches, Neil. But, yeah, after that, I think I captained the state side, or state countryside, for I think it was about 5 or 6 years, and really enjoyed it and played against a mixture of, you know, old has-beens like me that were on their way back from Premier Cricket, and a whole lot of great young up-and-coming players. And as I said, Housie played in that. Scotty Phillips played in that. Benny Claypole, from the fast bowler from Hastings, who ended up making the Australian countryside 1 year, played in that. So it was a great period for me, and it was a lot of fun. And the cricket was really, really strong and good and competitive, and made a lot of dear friends that I still stay in contact now around Country Victoria, which is a great thing as well. And yeah, obviously the Australian country stuff, I think I made that side, I think, 4 or 5 times and captained it 2 or 3. And I was lucky enough to play against Pakistan and New Zealand and Zimbabwe and a few of those teams, which was a great experience and a lot of fun.
And can you remember any of the names of the players who might have been in that team that did play?
Yeah, absolutely. The Australian side, as I said, Benny Claypole played. The first year I made it, the first year back that I could play, I captained the side. And there was a guy by the name of Jamin Murphy who had a distinguished premier career with St Kilda. He's now living in Echuca. He played. We played against Pakistan, so we played against blokes like Ejaz Ahmed and Waqar Yunus and Owen Khan and all those types of people. The spinner Afridi. Played against Sri Lanka and the chucker and all that type of stuff. Yeah, so I was lucky enough to play against them.
Yeah, great experience.
And Brad, they reckon you're a long time retired, don't they? And you've given it a fair old crack. But having played this long, what's been the catalyst for you to decide to hang up the boots now?
A mixture of a couple of things. I was going to give it away at the end of last year after our final, and our club Rosebud had appointed a young 19-year-old captain who was outstanding this year, and rejuvenated me, I guess, and made me feel young again for a year. And I just felt that, you know, playing one more year and being around some of the younger kids would be a lot of fun, and maybe I could help out in some small way, and got a lot out of it. And then towards the end of this year, at my ripe old age, I wasn't that good anymore, and there was there'd be kids at our club coming through who'd be better served playing in the first team, first and foremost. I honestly didn't think I'd warrant a selection anymore. And secondly, a good mate of mine to me said, "Mate, how are you feeling?" And there was about 4 or 5 overs to go, and I looked at him and I said, "I'm just tired. I just feel tired." So, yeah, just the body and also the ability. The time's right.
So, also something else I've just noticed: we've got a list that Dougie Dyles put together. I think it must have been your first year at Rosebud, 2003.
Yeah.
You had a ripping year that year, 842 runs. Do you remember much of that? Why you were hitting the ball so well that year?
Yeah, I do. Like I said, that was 03 or 04, I think. And we were in sub-district and we were playing against some great teams, the Pinter Old Boys, that were a fantastic team and had a lot of great players and some great mates I made from that side. And I remember I thought to myself, I'm 4'2". I've never been a great driver of the ball. I'm going to need to get the bowl short. And as you know, Neil, down in country cricket, Premier cricket was different. They used to bowl into the wicket and try and knock your head off, and are reasonably fast. But down here, it's pretty slow. It's slower and it's fuller and it's straight. And I thought, I'm not going to make a run if they do that. So I spent the year wearing a cap, hoping that blokes like Big Jones in that would try and knock my head off, and I'd incite them to do it. And so that my only memory is I wore a cap and guys sort of old shorts in me for the year, thinking, we'll kill this old bloke. Okay. And so I was lucky enough to get a few away. But my memories were of that year were really fond. We had a great side. We had a great group of guys at Rosebud. And we had a fierce rivalry and great competitive games against the old boys.
Mm.
And we played a great final against them. So, my memories were fond. I had a little bit of luck and made some runs, but I remember the games, particularly against the old boys, that were a lot of fun, and fiercely fought.
Now, one of the big characters on the association would be Jason Nagel, who you've played the last few years with. Where does he fit into your cricket memories?
Really fondly. 13 or 14 years I played with him at the Sharks, and before that, got to know him for 1 year at Mountie, and he's a dear mate. He's a dear mate who, our friendship will last long beyond cricket. So first and foremost, it's the memories of his friendship and the fun we've had on the field and the laughs, and I won't go into them all, but we've seen some funny stuff and we've been involved in some funny stuff on and off the ground. And as a player, I've spoke about many a great player on the pinch of it that, just for whatever reason chose not to try and go any higher. He's been an outstanding country all-rounder, who has some serious ability. So as a player, my memories of him are, I hold him in high regard.
And just finally, mate, because it's almost 11, but we hear that the boys set up a bit of a bonfire with some of your equipment last Saturday night. You got a clear memory of that, or was it a bit of a foggy memory?
It's a bit of a foggy memory now because it's sort of just shy of 48 now. It's, my memory goes, and I can't stay awake as late at night as I used to. So I think I was rather tired and emotional reasonably early last week. And the guy said to me, "How do you know you won't play again next year? Because you were talking about giving it away at the end of last year." And I said, "One way, guys, burn the bag." So they burnt my bag.
There's no coming back from that.
Well, that's right, And I think they've collected the ashes, so no doubt they'll do something with those over the years, Brad. look, I'm sure there are plenty of people driving to the cricket semi-finals today listening into this interview, mate. But on behalf of everybody who's played with or against you over the years, MPCA, we want to congratulate you on a great career, and hope you enjoy viewing a lot of local cricket over the next 10 or 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely, Neil. I really appreciate it, and I've had a lot of fun and made a lot of great friends, and I just hope I can give a bit back to the game in some other way now.
Good on you, mate. Enjoy your long time retired.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it.